Okay. All right. 1 John chapter 4. Whenever God sheds His love abroad in our hearts, God's love accomplishes some things. When He sheds His love abroad in our heart, His love accomplishes some things. God makes us believe on Christ. That's a certainty. When He sheds His love abroad in the heart, He makes us believe on Christ. And also, He makes us love one another. He accomplishes this in His people. Love forgives. Love bears one another's burdens and so fulfills the law of Christ, which is the law of love. Love makes us put the best construction on one another's words and overlook offenses. Why? Well, God does all this in the context of His body, the church. He fitly frames His people together, gives us a hunger and a thirst for Christ, and this gospel is our food. This is the way God has chosen to feed us and to grow us up and nourish us. You can find that in Ephesians 4. Everything that's going on here is of God. It's of Christ, our ascended Lord. And He gives His people a hunger and a thirst for Christ through this gospel. And so we are made to love one another by assembling together, by showing that love to one another and actually forgiving one another and providing for one another and all these things that you have to do as a family. You know, if I was to leave here and not show up, and I said, but now I love you. You know, we're brethren. I love you. But I don't show up. I don't bring the gospel to you. I don't provide monetarily for this congregation. I don't bear your burdens and try to comfort you and help you one-on-one. You'd say, well, that love, what do you mean you love us? Try that on your spouse. Don't come home Don't provide for them and show them no love in any way and say, oh, I love you, though. They're going to say that's love, not like what John says that is. That's not love. That's hatred. It's hatred. And if it wasn't for God's Word assuring us that this is what God works in His people, assuring us that He plants His people under the sound of the gospel, He fitly frames us together, He gives us this love for Christ and for one another so that we cannot part where He's planted us under the gospel. We can't do it. We just cannot do it because we have brethren we love who depend on us and we ourselves need the gospel of Christ. So we just can't do it. God's love won't let us. We have that assurance in this Word and that comforts me. When I see professing believers walk according to what John in this epistle calls darkness, going out from us and not assembling anywhere, not being with God's people anywhere. When I see that, it assures me and comforts me that I know God is going to work the opposite in His people. God's going to plant His people. And I don't have to worry about that because He says He's going to do it. And He does it. We either believe He does that or we call God a liar. But He does this. There are no exceptions. You know, John started this book out saying we either walk in light or we walk in darkness. There's no walking in the middle light somewhere. It's either light or darkness. And God makes His people walk in light. Faith in Christ and love for one another. Now, we see tonight something else that God's love works in His people. God's love for His people. This is what we're looking at. God's love for His people in Christ removes the fear of judgment from His people and gives us a confidence and a boldness to stand before God in the day of judgment. He does this right now in us. He removes a fear of judgment. And He gives us a confidence that there's no condemnation, that we're not going to be found guilty in any way by God, so we can stand before God in judgment. And He does this by putting His love in His people. That's what I want to show you. I've titled this, Perfect Love Casteth Out Fear. That's what John tells us here. Let's read it one more time. He says there, I'm going to go ahead and include verse 16 because there's something I want you to see in it. He says, we've known and believed the love that God hath to us. That's the love we're talking about here. The love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, here's why he does it. He dwelleth in God and God in him. Now herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. This love God puts in the heart. There's no fear. No legal fear, no fear of condemnation. There's no fear in this love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And here's the sum of this whole thing. This is where John's leading to and what he's teaching us. We love him because he first loved us. All right, first of all, God's love is perfected in us when his love gives us boldness for the day of judgment. Confidence for the day of judgment. And this is what God does from the first hour he saves you. He gives you confidence that you'll never be condemned again for your sin. He says there in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now look at the margin. He says, herein is love with us. We just saw he's talking about God's love toward us. And what he's saying here is herein is God's love within us made perfect. This is God's love within us that accomplishes this. We saw back up in verse 12, he said, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, it's because God dwelleth in us, and his love, and it's not talking about some love we have, his love is perfected in us. His love puts a love in us and brings us to this end. Our text is showing us here another thing that's accomplished. There he said, if we love one another, it's because God's love has perfected this in us. Here he's telling us, when God dwells in us, when he sheds abroad in our hearts his love for us in Christ Jesus, when he does this, he removes the fear of judgment and gives us a boldness, confidence to stand in the day of judgment. This is what his love always accomplishes in his people. As sure as his love accomplishes faith in his people, as sure as his love accomplishes making us love one another and love Christ, his love accomplishes removing this fear and giving us boldness in the day of judgment. Now there is a day coming when the world shall be judged by God, by Christ. The Acts 17:31, Paul said, he hath appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ Jesus. And he's given us all assurance that it's going to be so because he's raised Christ from the dead. There is coming a day when every single person without Christ is going to stand before God and they're going to be judged by God. That means God speaks of having a book or books, and the books will be open. And every sin in thought, word, and deed, God knows them all. And so God will, he will judge us not by how we measure up to other sinners like us. Men want to say, well, I'm not that bad. I'm better than so-and-so. Well, that's not going to be who we're judged by. Christ is going to be the judge, and we're going to be judged by the righteousness of Christ. And we will, if we don't have Christ, the only righteousness God will receive, if we don't have him, we will come up wanting. We cannot by our own works obtain a righteousness that God will accept. We just can't do it. And Scripture says, in that day, those that stand there without Christ are going to be so terrified, they're going to cry out for the mountains to fall on them. Go over to Revelation 6. I want to show you this. Revelation, just a few pages over. Revelation to your right. Revelation 6. And look at this. He's telling us this will be so for every single sinner without Christ. Look, the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man. That means everybody without Christ hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. We're going to be judged by Christ the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, you that are here without Christ, that day is rapidly approaching. No man knows when it's going to be. It could be tonight. But seek Christ now while He may be found. That means don't let this go in one ear and out the other. You go home tonight and you apply yourself to what you've heard and look these things up in the Scripture and ask God to give you grace and mercy. How many times have you heard me say that? How many times have you heard faithful pastors tell you the same thing? And how many times has it gone in one ear and out the other? How many times will God allow a sinner to trample underfoot the gospel of His dear Son before God turns him over to reprobation? I don't know, but I don't want to find out. Now's the time to seek God while He may be found. We're not playing here. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. But in that day, here's the good news. God's saints will stand there confident, with boldness, with no fear whatsoever, that we will not come under any condemnation. But we will have the righteousness that God demands. And we'll have boldness that we have it in that day. That's what He's telling us. Now, how are we going to have that boldness? Where do you get that confidence from? Surely it's something you got to do. Surely it's a work you must do. Nope. Look here in verse 17. The second part, He says, because as He is, so are we in this world. Now, if you're a believer, if God has given you faith and He's brought you to believe on Christ, this is what God is saying to you right now. As Christ is, right now, at God's right hand, so are we right now where you sit. As He is, so are we in this world. Well, what is Christ? Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He's the Son of God who God loves. Every child born of His Spirit right now in this world is a son of God by adoption through the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We're sons just like Christ is a son. Look back at 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. What is Christ? He's a son of God. You know what we are? We're sons of God. Right now. Sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be perfectly conformed to His image. Right now, in Him, and by the Spirit He's given us, We're before God. God says we are as He is right now. But in that day, it's going to be a perfect conformity. As He is, we will be. For we'll see Him as He is. What else is Christ right now? Christ is righteous and holy and accepted of God our Father. Everybody He's brought to believe on Him is righteous. Just as God is righteous, just as Christ is righteous. We're holy as God is holy, holy as Christ is holy, and we're as accepted of God as Christ is accepted of God. It don't get better than that. That's as good as it gets. Listen to Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that's dead is freed from sin. He's justified from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Christ. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, he that's dead's freed from sin. He's justified. Christ bore the sin of his people. And God poured out the condemnation due unto his people unto Christ, because when he bore our sins, he took our place. It was due to him instead of us. And Christ bore it. But Christ said, but the Father will justify me. When I've accomplished the work and I have put away the condemnation, my Father will justify me. And the Scripture says he did. And so now Christ is justified, freed from sin. And as he is, so are we in this world. Everyone that believes on him, we're freed from sin, justified from all our sin. As we just sang, God has cast them all into the depth of the sea. That come right out of Scripture. He cast them all into the depths of the sea. This word says the law of God will condemn Christ no more. It did. When he bore our sin and he died in the sin, the law of God condemned our Savior, our substitute, because he took our place. But it won't condemn him anymore. And as he is, so are we. The law will never condemn one for whom Christ died. Never. Never. The law has nothing else to say to us. The law says of Christ, he's perfectly righteous. And I can even see his heart, and it's perfectly holy. And that's what it says of you and me who are born of his Spirit. Sin has no more dominion over him. Therefore, sin has no more dominion over us. Death has no more dominion over him. Therefore, death has no more dominion over us. Christ is alive to God. Therefore, we're alive to God. Christ is accepted of God. Therefore, we're accepted of God. Now, brethren, when we stand before God in the day of judgment, as we are right now, as Christ is and as we are, that's how we'll be in that day. So we won't have any reason to fear whatsoever. Now, if you would have this confidence, you sitting here that don't have this confidence, if you want this confidence, believe on Christ. Cast all your care on Christ and abide in him until the end. Look back at 1 John 2:28. He talked about the love of God abiding in us and that unction he's given us. And he says in 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Abide in Christ. Abide in him. Now, thirdly, let me show you this. Back in our text, 1 John 4:18. I want you to see this. In God's saints, within us personally. Now get a hold of this. I'm going to try to show you this in the Scripture. But it is God's perfect love. It's God's own perfect love that casts out this fear of ever being condemned. It's his perfect love in us that casts it out. Look here in verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. That's the phrase that grabbed my attention. Perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now this is a statement of fact. There is no fear of God's judgment in love which God puts in his child. That's what, when he says there's no fear in love, he's saying there's no fear in the love of God which God himself puts in his child. There's no fear in that love. You might come under conviction as a believer. You might begin to see your sin. You might begin to come under guilt and feel guilty. That didn't come from the love of God put in your heart. That's your flesh. And usually, it's our flesh making us look at something about our flesh to try to give us some confidence. This confidence is only going to come from the love of God that he puts in our heart. And this is where it comes from. Now, how does he do that? It says, perfect love casteth out fear. What is this perfect love? It's God's love for Christ. It's God's love for Christ. It's God the Father's love for His Son. It's also, and that is also the same love that God has for us in whom Christ dwells. Now, what I just said is a mouthful, and I can't scratch the surface of this, but get what I said. The love, the perfect love God puts in us is God's own love for Christ. And it is the same, very same love wherewith God loves us the same as He loves Christ. Let's go over to John 17. We'll see this. You know, John, I've showed you how John is speaking a lot of what he heard our Redeemer say. And when our Lord made this intercession and He prayed this high priestly prayer, you hear people talk about the Lord's Prayer, and they speak of that prayer over there where He taught us how to pray. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's Him teaching us how to pray. This is the Lord's Prayer right here. This is Christ speaking as our high priest. But what He's doing while He did that is He's teaching His disciples something about God's love and about how we're made to love. As He prays this and asks God to do this in His people, look at this. John 17, verse 22. He said, the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in Me. Now get that. I in them, Christ in us, and God in Christ. That they may be made perfect in one. If you've got Cambridge Bible, if you look in your margin, I just noticed this a minute ago. You know what it gives for the scriptural reference to support this? It gives 1 John 2:5, where He talks about God's love being perfected in us, and it gives 1 John 4, verses 12 and 17. It gives our text. He's talking about, this is that perfect love He's talking about. I in them, Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that they may know, now look at the last part, that Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. But that's not all. That's not all. Verse 26 says, I've declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Let's look at that first part. He says, I in them, verse 23, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world, His people scattered about, will know You have sent Me, and that You have loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Now this is why, this two parts right here, that Christ just prayed for, this is why He laid down His life for His people. What God gives His people is not just an imputed privilege. God is actually making His people an entirely new creation. He's creating us anew. Any man that denies the new birth, denies the work of God in the new man, in the Spirit, don't listen to it, because it's denying a work of Christ for His people. This is what God does in His people through the blood and righteousness of Christ. It's as much as it glorifies Christ as much as what Christ did for us on the cross. They're vitally connected. And this is why He laid down His life for His elect, to make us know that God our Father has loved us as He loves Christ. How's that? With a perfect, electing, everlasting, indestructible covenant love. Love that'll never change. Love that'll never diminish. Everlasting, perfect, indestructible covenant love. It's the same love wherewith God loves Christ. How do you think God loves His Son? That's how He loves His people. Exactly the same way. And that's what Christ prayed for in that first part. He's praying that I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that they may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And then look at this second part. Christ asked that God put His perfect love for Christ in us when Christ comes to dwell in us. He asked God to put His own perfect love in us, that love wherewith He loves Christ. Look at it. Verse 26. I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. This is done through the preaching of the gospel. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me, the love itself, wherewith you've loved me, Father, that love may be in them. I want you to put your own love for me in them. That's what he's saying. God's love for Christ itself is put in us. And I in them. That's what he does. This is the love wherewith we love Christ. Now get what I'm saying. It's God's love for Christ which God has put in us. Clay, explain that to me. I can't explain that to you. But it's so. That's what he prayed for. That the love wherewith you love me might be in them. It's our love now. He calls it, herein is our love made perfect. But it's God's love that He put in us. It's God's love for Christ that He put in us that makes us love Christ. As God loves Christ. Isn't that amazing? And this, by this, He makes us know that God loves us as He loves Christ. And the result of that, brethren, is back in our text, look at verse 18. All that legal fear of God and all that torment of judgment that once ruled us and forced us into religion that we hated or forced us to do whatever, you know, go out on Thanksgiving and do something nice for folks because you thought you needed to earn some points or whatever it was that you were doing. All out of a legal fear. That's gone now. Look, perfect love. This love that is of God casts out that fear. Because that fear is torment. A father who truly loves his child. You don't want your child obeying you because they're scared to death of you and they're afraid that you're going to throw them out of the house if they don't love you. Now, there are some children. That's the only way you can get them to do anything. But that's not how a father wants his child to love them. Love him and why he wants his child to do what they do for him. He wants them to do what they do because they love him. And they see what great love he has for them. Well, God is the same way. God does not make his child serve him by legal fear. He doesn't make us live in torment that if we don't serve him just right, then God's going to throw us in hell. That's not how he makes his people love him. Go over to Romans 5. How does he make us love him? Here's what this perfect love accomplishes. Look at Romans chapter 5. Verse 1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The warfare is over. We're not fighting God anymore. We have peace with God. He's not angry with us. We have peace with God. By Christ also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice. We rejoice. We don't fear and tremble and full of torment. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, we glory in tribulations also. In all the trials God sends, because we know that tribulation, He's working patience. And patience, He's working experience, maturity, experience, He's working hope. And hope makes not ashamed. And here's why all of this is so. Because the love of God, when you see of God, it means it's God's love toward us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. That makes us see. That makes us have the love for Christ that God has for Christ. And it makes us see how that God loves us with the same love as He loves Christ. And then go to Romans 8. Here's how He makes us serve Him and want to serve Him and delight to hear His gospel and do what we can for His people. Look at Romans 8, 1. There's now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That means we can have boldness to stand in the day of judgment. There is no condemnation. Christ has put it away. And look, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? Verse 15. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We were in bondage. We were in bondage. We ourselves were in bondage thinking, you know, we have to keep the law and we have to do this and that. And we have to try to earn a reward and indebt God to us. And some of us were under preachers that did that and tried to scare you and make you do what you did out of fear and a mercenary spirit to earn a reward and all these different things. God gives you a new spirit, and it's not that. It's not the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, when we need help, when we're thanking God all the time, we cry out, Abba, Father, 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 Dada. That's it, like little babies. And He says, and the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. We are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we shall be maybe glorified together. That sinner that's motivated by threats and that his fears that if he don't keep the law, he's going to be rejected and all of that and kicked out and by God and by the church and all that. What does he say, verse 18 of our text? He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God has not done this work in his heart. That's why he feels that way. That's it. That's the only reason. God has not done this work in his heart. We were the same way before God did this work in our heart. This fear was not cast out. We had torment. That's how the devil keeps you in bondage. But now that he's removed it, we can live unto God, and we can serve God acceptably with godly reverence, godly fear, a respect for God. But it's in love. It's constrained by His love for us and His love for Christ and Christ's love for us. It's not legal. It's not because we're afraid of anything. It's because the goodness of God has shown us His great love for us. And so we want to serve Him, and we want to follow Him, and we want to honor Him. This is the thing. Remember, when the man stood up when Christ was born, and he prayed. He said, just like you promised Abraham, God promised Abraham He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And that's what He's done. He's delivered us out of the hand of all of our enemies. And He's made us righteous and holy in Christ so that we can serve Him in the righteousness and holiness of Christ before God all our days. And no fear, only constrained by love. Go to Ephesians 3. I'm going to close now. This is why Paul prayed this right over here in Ephesians 3. Look at this. Ephesians 3:16. He said, I bow to God, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He, verse 16, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that you will be rooted and grounded in love. And you'll comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and you'll know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, so that you can enjoy God in all His fullness and enjoy His love to you, and the worship of God will be a pleasure and a joy and not some dreaded fear that you got to do or you're going to go to hell. You get that? That's not why we serve God. So let's go back and read this again. I want you to just read John's thing, and I'm going to tell you what I'll recap what I just told you. The love of God for Christ has been put in His people. The love of God for Christ He puts in us. It becomes our love. We really love Christ, but it's the love of God put in us. And this perfect love of God put into our new heart motivates us and constrains us to love God and serve Him by promoting the gospel of His Son. That's we have to have it. Our brethren have to have it. There's other needy sinners that have to have it. And if we have this love in us, it's going to constrain us to assemble where God's assembled us in His congregation under the pastor He's provided. And it's going to make us forgive one another. It's going to make us overlook one another's shortcomings and not look for reasons to divide. It's going to make us look for reasons to be in unity, because you need the gospel and you love your brother and he needs the gospel. We put up with a lot more offenses at our jobs, and we don't leave our job. We put up with a lot of offenses in our marriages. We don't leave our spouse because of that. But you see folks, for the least little thing, they can get their little feelings hurt and out they go. Guess what? Guess what God says in His Word? If they were of us, it is no doubt they would have continued with us. Why? God really works this in the hearts of His people. That's why. God really works this in the hearts of His people. Let's quit trying to justify rebellion and praise God and rejoice in what God really works in His people. You get that? This is so. Now let's read it here. Verse 16. We've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love, that means to the end, loving Christ and your brethren, to the end, he dwelleth in God and God in him. That's how he does it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as Christ is, so are we in this world. How do we get that? How do we get that boldness? There's no fear in love. But perfect love, God's perfect love for Christ and his perfect love for us, which is the same as his love for Christ, it's cast out that fear in us. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God's not going to have any child fearing him, serving him just because he's afraid of God. We love him. Serve him, believe him, trust him, love our brethren, because he first loved us. That's what makes us do it. Now, either God can really work that in his people, or his men think of themselves, well, I'm an exception to that. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you're not content to sit under God's gospel and be ministered to the way God says he's going to do it and love your brother enough to sit there and support them, you're not an exception to the rule. I promise you. I promise you. This is the rule. And God works this rule in his people. There's no doubt about it. I'm tired of justifying rebellion. I'm tired of coddling rebellious sinners that want you to call them a brother or call them a sister when they're walking exactly contrary to what John's talking about. I'm just tired of doing it. I'm just going to tell them straightforward, no, I'm not going to collar you in that, because you're doing just the opposite of what God works in his people. Plain and simple. So I pray God has talked, revealed this in sinners and make them hear it and know it. But this is just so. God, the gospel is not a theory. And the gospel is not a system of doctrine. Maybe you learned that when, you know, somebody learned that when they were in Reformed theology. And now they've come to the doctrines of grace. Well, they hadn't moved an inch out of the Reformed church. God brings you to Christ. And he does this work in you. And you leave everything else for him. And for those that he loves. And that's not a theory. That is a practice that God works in his people. Sure and steadfast. Without a doubt. Praise God for it too. Thank you.